Go to weekendwagers.com. Motown Fisher joins us once again. Motown, how you doing?
Hey, Jason. How's it going?
It's going well. I guess better for me than it is right now for the fantasy sites. You know, the daily fantasy, they've shut down in Nevada. How do you see this going with, you know, with the Fantasy Trade Association, the American Gaming Association? What's going to be the long-term play here?
It's a big mess, Jason. This is what everybody's saying right now. Obviously, the big flag was the insider information that they're saying that came out last week with the rival from DraftKings winning $350,000. That kind of put a big red flag and a big light on this situation. And now they're calling for regulations. Nevada State Gaming said if you don't have a gambling license, you can't be in our state. And considering that everybody knows Nevada is the gold standard of gaming, they basically, you know, we're not really sure what's going to happen now. Everybody's, you know, there's a lot of money involved here, obviously. The leagues have huge fortunes tied up in equity, advertising. I mean, this is a, you know, as we know, daily fantasy, like any fantasy sports, it's all about marketing. And what's going to happen now? There's a lot of interesting possibilities, but I do possibly see some more states. Right now it's five, at Nevada six, who don't allow daily fantasy gaming, but I could definitely see a few more states calling the shots, saying, no, we're not going to allow it. But in the long run, and the long run is probably after the election, whatever happens in the next year, but after the American election, I can possibly see that the Fantasy Trade and Sport Association possibly allies with the American Gaming Association, who is promoting single game betting and the allowance of betting online, et cetera, that this could possibly be a good situation for the long run, you know, taxable for the nation type of idea, that, you know, just standard regulations.
What's interesting, though, is there is a lot of sports teams and leagues that have invested in, you know, DraftKings and such. And now all of a sudden, if there's going to be regulations and, you know, they're not getting the money, what happens to the investors? The investors got to be concerned, no?
Well, everybody's got to be concerned. But you have to remember, too, that the other side of this, you know, we talked, I think it was last week or the week before, when the NFL was in England, you know, Roger Goodell has come out and you know, said that we can't control necessarily other people, other countries. Silver from the NBA has said when the bill from Canada was trying to come through, he said, we're basically going to support it. We believe that if Canada is going to support single game betting, that we're okay with it. So, I mean, the tide is shifting. You would have never seen this 10 years ago, ever, ever. They would have been completely opposed to it. But now people are sort of slowly lightening up to the situation.
Motown Fisher joins us from weekendwagers.com. Now, an interesting one, Jason Logan from covers.com, you know, talked about it's the year of the flag in the NFL. They're up over two penalties per game. It's actually up over five over the last 5 years. A lot of people saying, well, it's because of the rule changes in favor of receivers and offense. But the increased flags, if you're somebody who likes to play over-under, it's definitely given you a better reason to want to lean to over more than under?
That's what it seems. Jason Logan put this article out, which was interesting. In the past 9 years, Jason, there was 121 NFL games with more than 20 flags thrown, so about 13 a year. So far this year, they already have 15 in the first 5 weeks. 15. And so we're looking at right now, looking at the totals, considering that a lot of people consider the offense as having the advantages. Of course, we're talking about all flags, so we don't know necessarily which flags, but we're saying that, and we're watching that more offensive pass interference, defensive pass interference, more defensive holdings. The receivers definitely have a huge advantage now. And we're right now, so far, we're seeing the over covering out of 15 games. We're seeing a 9-5-1 record. And this is something that seems to be, you know, slightly trending. It's not huge exactly just yet. And let's also consider that we've always talked about the books adjust to this as well. If you start seeing a ton of overs, it's, you know, the books are going to move the lines up a little bit, which they have over the last few years. But this is definitely something to consider, particularly with high scoring teams.
Looking ahead to this week, you know, there's a few interesting games. Just give me your thoughts on the Cincinnati Bengals. And are they a team right now that you got to go with?
Well, since Cincy has been up and down for many years. You know, as soon as you think you can count on that team, I know for a lot of years, as soon as you think you can count on those guys, they do tend to let you down. And that's been the story of Cincy for a long time. This week they're in Buffalo, and they have a huge public backing because they, you know, they're basically, this is under the idea that, you know, Buffalo has been very mediocre, and Cincy's looking sharp. You know, got a great quarterback behind them that is just continuously improving. So, you know, Cincy has a lot of the public love right now. As does this week, we're also looking at, you know, we want to talk about Tom Brady and how nothing is ever impacting the New England Patriots. Right now, at 8.5 points, they have 70% of the betting up until today so far. And last week, they were another, we were talking last week when they were a -8 pick that moved into a -10 against Dallas. The public just kept buying it. Didn't matter what the number that the books would change it to. 10, I think it might have got to 10.5. I'm not sure. It was 9.5, but it didn't matter. The public just kept betting New England. And then the same thing this week. Arizona as well. The two big favorites of last week that crushed, that helped the public is now they're at 70%, and Arizona at -3 is at 69%. So there's a lot of people who love Zona as well this week.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger, of course, Arizona's in Pittsburgh, announced today he's not playing. And based on the play of Michael Vick, I can see why some people might be going for Pittsburgh, although they'd have that miracle great final second touchdown. Rather than – you talked about it earlier, Lance, how you should always go for it on 2-point converts instead of a single.
The
stats say you should. Well, I guess you should always go for it when it's 4th-and-1 rather than kick a game time field goal.
Again, that's about who has the stones to do what at this situation. I mean, situationally, but like in the CFL, you know, Huffnagel going for all these 2-point conversions. You know, that's one of the things we were talking about, having a conversation with some people, and that is something that really, you know, with the kicker accuracy based on where it is going down, you really, you know, you just got to be, you know, over 50%, and you're getting 2 points every time. That's sort of that really evens out, particularly if you do it every time. But of course, not every, you know, it's very unorthodox to want to do that. That's like pulling your goalie 3 or 4 minutes before, you know, pulling your goalie in a hockey game 3 or 4 minutes down 2 goals. I mean, it's unorthodox, but even that, it is the right play to do. The only chance you have.
You've got a few plays. We always like to tease a few people and go to the newsletter to get all of them. But a few plays. You like Denver this week, who is -4 in Cleveland. And you also like the Dolphins. Why? As a Dolphin fan, why do you like the Dolphins?
Well, the Dolphins are interesting, particularly coming back, particularly with a new coach, particularly the new coach philosophy. Also, you know, there's a lot going back into that, you know, they're going to play tough. They're coming off of a pretty brutal loss. And, you know, Tannehill has looked bad, but at this point, he's definitely something that we like to – we're putting in a teaser. We had the Saints last night with this teaser as well. So I'm not convinced they're necessarily going to win the game outright, but I do like them in a teaser, whereas a teaser, you can take 2 games and then push the line 6 points. And so in this case, we can get them for 7.5 points as a 1-point dog. Or, you know, depending on how the line moves. And then yesterday we had the Saints at a 9.5 points as well, so which they won outright.
Also, you got your sports select play where you have the 3 game that will come up tonight or tomorrow morning with NCAA NFL on it.
Last week we missed one. Boy, did we ever miss one on Wisconsin. It was we had it in the morning, Saturday morning newsletter. We had the Eskimos to win. We had Florida in the NCAA at night, and then we had Wisconsin, and basically they were up 6 points with 3 minutes left before they had only allowed one touchdown in their last 4 games. They had allowed 3 in that game, and that one was a 54-yard run by Nebraska. It was for a $2 ticket, it paid $26. We just missed that one. That was a great one. I put these out every single week, and we've been doing, you know, consistently, we've been getting them. We've been hitting 2 out of 3, but you can use all the rest of the picks that we do as well. Last week, remember, on the show, we also told people we love the Eskimos. They came through. We loved the Cardinals last week, and they came through pretty heavily on that one.
What about baseball playoffs? Now you're into the AL and the NLCS. How does, you know, is baseball playoffs, is it a good one to look at when you look at statistics? Or because it's, you know, it's so unpredictable from game to game, is it one you shy away from?
We tend to really shy away in a sense that we're looking at edges. And if particularly, you know, when guys like Kershaw are on the mound, you get huge odds for the other team. But, you know, Kershaw has been performing well. But then look at the Jays. Look at some of the, you know, especially the first two games.
Yeah, like David Price, for sure, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, that's a perfect example. But remember, our whole thing, we're trying to find long-term edges. And the whole thing is when you have one or two games in a day, it's really hard to find necessarily an edge. I mean, you can definitely see an edge in the public perception who loves a particular, you know, side or the Dodgers can't lose kind of idea like yesterday. You know, that was one we particularly liked the Greinke in that matchup. But at the same time, you're not going to find huge edges as you do in a week or a weekend where you have 15 games to choose from, or a hockey card on a night where you have 5, 6, 10 games on a Saturday. You know, you're trying to find games with edges on them. And particularly, we've mentioned on the show before, a lot of the times you find the edges, they're not the primetime games. They're the ones, you know, they're the Tampa Bay and Jacksonville type games.
Motown, once again, it's weekendwagers.com. You can go up, sign in for the free newsletter. It's got all sorts of great plays and advice. And if you've got any questions, you can also email on the site, and Motown will get back to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jason. You too.